And I won't actually read any of that text. 1 Peter chapter 2, and to review, what is the basic reason why God has called his people out of darkness into light? Why? According to 1 Peter chapter 2, and it is in verse 9, that the reason we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light is that we might show forth his praises.
Amen.
It is so that God might be honored. Yes. So that, and we use this word, that God might be glorified. But I don't really think that's the best word, because God is glorified.
Yes, sir.
We don't really glorify God. But there's a sense in which we try to glorify God. But this is what he says, and let me read that verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God saved us to honor himself, to get himself glory. And there are two ways in which Peter directly mentions, there are two of these excellencies, these praises, these virtues. One is that the Lord is gracious. And I think most everyone here has a foundation, at least academically, a foundation of what God's grace is all about. But also Peter mentions that he is precious. That is, literally, he has inestimable worth or value. That is, his esteem, his dignity. And there are five ways in which we see this manifest, at least five in Scripture. And the first one was God's estimation of him. Mm-hmm. God calls him precious.
Yes.
Right? What is it? Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, that is belittled, indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious.
Amen.
Precious. And God highly, God don't know. God doesn't just highly value the Son. The Father doesn't just highly value the Son. The Father, because it pleased him to do so, has made him preeminent.
Amen.
Everything, all of the blessings, whether they be spiritual or physical, everything comes because of the person of Jesus Christ. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. He's the Forgiver. All of these things have Christ as its basis. That's God's estimation of him. He is precious. The question I need to ask for myself is he precious to me?
Yes.
Now, I can never value Christ as highly as the Father values Christ. But what I can do, when enabled by his grace, which is the first thing, what I can do when enabled by his grace is I can bow down to the truth that God the Father highly values him.
Yes.
That's the point. God's estimation of him. And because of God's estimation of him, we see the second thing, that God is not honored apart from Christ.
Yes, sir.
That is, let me try to not simplify, but state it more simply, because this truth can't be simplified. But let me try to state it more simply. A person cannot have God, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, apart from the Son.
Amen.
A person is not a true believer in God. A person is not one of God's converted people unless they honor the Son.
Amen.
Remember, he that hath the Son hath the Father also. The person who denies the Son denies the Father as well.
Amen.
And there is another little aspect of that. There are those who see Christ as honorable, but he's just another piece of the puzzle. You know, he's just another part of the picture. But in the testimony of Scripture, Christ is not just another part of the picture. He's the highlight of the picture.
Yes, sir.
He's the theme of which the picture is about. The book is about him.
Amen.
You remember those disciples, the two on the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. who at first, because of God's own providential purpose, they did not recognize Christ.
Exactly.
And then finally, he revealed himself to them, but it makes this statement that he went throughout the law and the prophets, and he spoke to them in the Scriptures. That was the only Scriptures of that day.
Yes, sir.
Of the things concerning himself.
Yes.
So this brings us to the third point. And I put the third one first. Here's the third and fourth. The third one is spiritual life rests in Christ.
Amen.
The fourth one is spiritual faith has Christ as its object.
Yes, sir.
There are some so-called Christian religions that would switch that around. That is, that spiritual faith has Christ as its object. You must first grab Christ as the object of your faith, and then you have spiritual life. That is not the teaching of Scripture.
You're right.
But let's look at this third truth. This is the third one, as it would fall in line with the testimony of Scripture. Since God highly values him, all of these other things fall in line.
Yes,
under it. That comes first. It doesn't matter what you and I think of Christ in one respect, because God highly values him, even if I don't.
Exactly.
But by his grace, I'm enabled to highly value him. I'm at least enabled, Joe, to see that the Father highly values him. That makes him valuable.
Yes, sir.
And in effect, he has inestimable value. You can't estimate it. You can't guess at it. So, spiritual life rests in Christ. So, let's look at that now. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Now, Peter doesn't mention the fact of this spiritual life in the text. He does in the preceding chapter, which we may look at later. We may. Here's the third one, though. Remember, number one, God's estimation of him. Secondly, because God so highly values him, God is not honored apart from Christ. That's the way God ordained it.
Yeah.
That's not my opinion. That's not chapel's opinion. That's not Baptist opinion, Presbyterian opinion. And it certainly ain't Church of Christ opinion. And you can take that however you want to take it.
Exactly.
This is not man's opinion. This is God Almighty's sovereign purpose.
Amen.
And because that God is not honored apart from Christ, spiritual life rests in Christ in all of its facets.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to, or I hope you can get that phrase. Spiritual life does not have just one facet. There are some, when they speak of spiritual life, they always are talking about the future.
Yeah.
Even as a believer, they're talking about one day we're going to be spiritually alive. One day we're going to have eternal life. No, you either will have eternal life in this life or you will never have eternal life.
That's it.
You don't get to eternity and then get eternal life. You make it to eternity in life because you already have eternal life in time.
Amen.
And this is basically what John would say. And let's look at it. 1 John chapter 5, and I want to begin for a reason in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son. Now just note that. Take a mental note of that. He that believeth on the Son of God hath. You see that word right there?
Yes, sir.
Hath the witness where? Now, yes, the witness comes to us from without to begin with, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we hear, God has so ordained it that we are to hear the truth of God, to hear the truth of Christ's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more than just, well, I've heard the message, so I'm okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's much more, I've heard the message, so I believe what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
You see, why? Because he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself.
Amen.
If, in other words, this is not only personal, it must be inward.
Yes, sir.
It must be a part of who you are.
Yeah.
Now, you're not that by nature, but I don't want to jump ahead. How do I get to that? That's a question to be answered. But here's the truth. And we're kind of jumping into the text in the middle, but that's the reason for it. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Does that mean God actually becomes a liar? No. But it means this person hath made God a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. That's God's estimation of him.
Yes, sir.
God says this is who he is, this is what he did, and even this is what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's just as well true. It's all God's truth. A person who doesn't believe the record God gave of his Son is calling, I'm going to change the word, is calling God a liar. That's what John is saying. You see, when you read to someone a verse or quote to someone a verse and they say, well, I don't believe that. Especially when I've done that before. I've had that happen to me. I've done that before. It's not right. I've had that happen to me. I have quoted to someone a scripture. I remember quoting Romans 8, verse 28. And a fellow said, you talk about that predestination stuff? Now, Romans 8, 28 don't even mention predestination. But he knows predestination's in the text. He was a preacher.
Yeah.
And he was a Church of God preacher. And he said, I don't believe that. Let me tell you something. If you're a believer in the way John's talking about being a believer, by the way John's talking about being a believer, then you're going to believe the record God gave of his Son.
Amen.
You may not have heard something yet, therefore you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Okay? But once you have heard it, you will begin to believe it.
Yes, sir.
You may struggle with it for a time.
Oh, yeah.
You may seek to fight against it for a time. But God eventually will bring you to believe the record he gave of his Son. It's not just about conversion. It is conversion here we're talking about. But it's not just about conversion, because you can be converted by and to error.
Yeah.
Can't you? There's thousands, millions no doubt have been converted, but they're converted by and to error. They're converted to lies. But God converts his people to believe the record he gave of his Son.
Amen.
You see, I don't believe you have to be a Calvinist to be converted. But I believe once he converts you, you'll start to become one.
That's it.
You'll start down the path of the truth. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying. You don't have to be a five-pointer.
No.
There are those who believe if you're a four-pointer, you're still lost. You know, I mean, at one time I was a no-pointer.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean a no-pointer.
Yeah.
Not just I didn't believe the five, I didn't truly believe any of it.
Exactly.
I were like those people, Joe. I believe facts, but only certain facts. And I was intrigued by other facts, but I didn't want the truth. But something happened to me, and that's what we'll talk about. I don't know if we'll get to it this morning. Something to happen to me that caused me to begin to believe the record God gave of his Son.
Amen.
And this is an established fact. It's not he that believeth on the Son hath the witness, therefore he ought to believe.
Yeah.
He can believe. He might believe. No, he believes the record God gave his Son. Because if you don't, you're calling God a liar.
Exactly.
And who thinks calling God a liar honors God? So you see the connection here again, that God's not honored apart from Christ. Because if you're going to honor God, you will believe the record God gave of his Son.
Amen.
And this is the record. Okay? And this is the record.
Yes.
That God hath given to us eternal life. Okay?
Yes.
And this life is in his Son.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah,
this life is in his Son. Then look at the next verse. And that's what we'll concentrate on for the next 10 minutes or so. Well, I don't know exactly. That's a guess. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
That's a fact. It's stated. It's not just stated as a fact. It's the truth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He that hath the Son hath life. This goes back to what I've already said. Point two, God is not honored apart from Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? That's included there. The reason God's not honored apart from Christ is because it pleased God not to be honored apart from Christ.
Amen.
That's why. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see that?
Amen.
All right, let's look at this word for a moment. Hath. Now, what I, as a preacher of the gospel, should do, and if I'm to be honest with your souls, must do, and if I'm going to do that, I can only do if he enables me to, is to bow to the truth of Scripture no matter what I think. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm to bow to the truth of Scripture. What we humans, we with our finite minds do, we know a truth. Okay, where God convinces us of a certain truth, and we try to make everything pigeonhole into that truth. Almost as though every verse somehow has to honor that truth. When one passage may not even be talking about that truth.
Yeah.
It may be talking about a related truth,
Amen.
But not the exact truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, this I hope will become clear in a moment. There are those who say that you must first lay hold of Christ by faith, because that's how you're going to lay, that's the only way you can lay hold of it.
Yeah.
That you must first believe the record God gave of his Son to get life. Is that not taught today? I've already mentioned that. Now, one thing, it doesn't say that, does it?
No.
It doesn't say he that hath the Son gets life.
No.
Does it?
That's right.
It says he that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's the word, hath. Hath. It means, literally translated, to hold.
Yeah.
But to hold in what way? There are words for hath or hold that would be this. Okay? A physical grab. Okay? This word could be used that way. But here's how it is. Here's the meaning, the nuances of the word. Okay? Here's the meaning. To possess. Okay? It doesn't mean you necessarily have to hold it in your hand, but you have something. It could be used of owning something. He has this, right? Hath would be the certain tense of the word. He holds this. Not necessarily physically, although that could be true. It means possession. It may mean ability. We say so-and-so has a disease, right? Doesn't mean they're holding on to it. Most of us have it. We want it. We'd like to get rid of it, but it means we what? We possess it, or we what? We possess it, or it's an ability. Hath. He has the power to do this. Or contiguity, which means nearness or contact. That would actually be when it's used of a physical thing. But it also could be used spiritually. That a person is near. Okay?
Yeah.
When we talk about laying hold of Christ, we do not physically lay hold on him. We're not mentally laying hold on him. What we're doing, what do you do when you lay hold of Christ? You're believing the record God gave of his Son. That's what believing is.
Yeah.
So it is possession, ability, or contiguity, or relation. It may mean relation. Or condition. In other words, it means to lay hold of. To have. I mean, that's simple enough. I'm not giving you any great deep truth here.
That's it.
It means to lay hold of. But here's the point. It is in the active voice. Okay? It doesn't say he that hath the Son gets life.
Yeah.
That's what many people teach, right?
Yep.
You first lay hold of Christ. He that lays hold of the Son gets life. That would be passive, get, right? That's not what it says.
No.
Neither one of these are passive. It's all active.
Yes, sir.
Here, John is talking about how life is made manifest in an active person. In a living person.
Yes.
Because, here's the point. As he starts out in the chapter division there is not bad, but remember this is just a letter.
Yeah.
John wrote. You know, he didn't divide this up in different thoughts or areas. What does John say about those who believe in Christ?
Yes, sir.
First verse of the chapter. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
Do you see that? Now, just reading that without going into some of the technicalities of the language in which John wrote, you can look at that and say, which comes first, being born of God or believing? Which comes first? Now, it's mentioned, believing's mentioned first, but it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not becomes born, not gets born, not has birth, does it?
Exactly.
If you believe, John says, for whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, let's look at this word now. Remember, he that has the Son has life. The person who has laid hold of Christ has laid hold of what? Life. You see it? The person who has not laid hold of Christ has what? Has not done something. Has not done what? Has not laid hold of life. Right? That's what it says. There are those who accuse us of not believing that. But it's just not so. There are those who accuse us of at least saying we don't really believe that's all that important. No, it's absolutely important. It is absolutely vital because those who are born of God believe, and it is the believing by which we what? Lay hold of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we go into the words, let me give you an illustration. In our day, and especially and even in this country, there is an argument about children in the womb. It's become so pointed that now we call them fetuses. We don't even call them children. I say we. There is this group of people that don't even call children in the womb children anymore, do they? They call them fetuses. And there, and I don't know all, I didn't look it all up because there are disagreements. You know, I could give you one man or a group's opinion, but there's going to be another group that slightly differs. But this is the close to the consensus. And it's put this way. The reason we call them fetuses, and it's basically said they don't have life until a certain age in the womb.
Yeah.
And we have laws that say that they, children, these fetuses in the womb, can be legally aborted up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Right? Now that's even changing now. But you understand what I'm saying. Why? Because that fetus is not viable outside of the womb on its own.
Yeah.
It's not to be considered as life.
Exactly.
But bless your heart, it's life.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't grow.
Yeah.
They give more respect to a marigold than they do to a child in the womb. You understand what I'm saying? Life exists in that womb, and life even existed before that life existed in the womb, because there were two parts of life, the seed of the man, the seed of the woman, that came together to form this life in the womb. And it's life, no matter what men and scientists and the medical department says about it, it's alive.
Yes, sir.
It's life. We have tried to soften the blow. We have tried to justify it with the viability argument. It's not viable up to a certain, once it's up to a certain point, then it could make it on its own. And you know, the whole point is, in general, when a child is conceived in the womb, in general, it is 9 months gestation, right? We still know that much, right? It's around 9 months. Let me tell you, even if it goes 9 months and is a full term and is born fully formed, that child cannot survive outside the womb on its own.
Exactly.
You go ahead and give birth to one, throw it out here in the yard and lay it out and see if it can survive on its own.
Yeah.
Is that the question of life?
Exactly.
No.
No.
No. Now that's physical life. But I'm here to say the same thing's true about spiritual life. Because there is a fathering of this thing that is then called life. But then that thing that is fathered is then begotten into the world of believers.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? Now look at now. That's not off the top of Walter's head. Let's look at what the words John uses.
Yes, sir.
Whosoever believeth. Now that's the same kind of believing. You know, believing what believes the record God gave His Son.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what John goes on to establish. It's a certain kind of belief. It's not just I can believe in God and leave Jesus out, is it? You can't do that. That's not the belief John's talking about, is it? It's not, well, I believe in Jesus, but I believe what I want to believe about Jesus. Is that what John says? No, these believers John's talking about believe the record God gave His Son.
Amen.
Now, how do they become believers? They're born of God.
Amen.
You see it? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born. That's one word in the Greek. Now, this word born, used in chapter 5, verse 1. See? Yeah, that's all right. I did take about 10 minutes on 10 through 12. All right, 5, verse 1. Born is used chiefly of what? You know what it's used chiefly of? Not of women giving birth to children. This verb here, is born, is used mainly of men begetting children.
Yes.
That is, as we would say it today, fathering a child. Okay? It is rarely used of a woman giving birth to a child. And I haven't checked every reference of it. But usually when it does, it's not even talking about necessarily a birth. You know? At that 9-month end of the time, birth. It's talking about a woman, a child being born of a woman. Held within her. You understand what I'm saying? But the word is chiefly always used of men. You go back to Matthew chapter 1, almost always it's so-and-so begat so-and-so.
Yeah.
And except with the case of, who is it? Help me out, Ruth. Is it Ruth?
Rahab,
one of them. There's a couple women mentioned that. Almost all of them are what? Men begetting men.
Yeah.
Right? It's used chiefly of a man fathering a child. That's conception. Because let me tell you, men, once you've done that part, you're done with it. Physically, right? You're done with it. You got nothing else to do with it. Once that child's conceived, your part's done with. As far as that life of that child, right? Now, I'm not trying to make a point toward the Scripture, but that's just the point of fact. But look, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is fathered of God.
Amen.
That's what it's saying.
Yes, sir.
Is fathered of God. We could put it that way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way we would say it today. Because you don't say, I gave birth to my child as a man. Can I say that? No. But you know what? I did. I did. I fathered that child. My two daughters. I fathered those two daughters. But whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now let me say, the birth must come before the believing. Life exists before conversion.
Yes,
conversion is the laying hold of it. The active me part of it. Me laying hold of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Because before the believing even happens, which is the laying hold of, the believing the record God gave of His Son, there must be a fathering first.
Exactly.
And that's the meaning of this word here.
Whosoever
believeth that Jesus is the Christ is fathered of God. But it's a little more than that. Is born. It actually would be better. The is born is okay. And I hope you see why in a moment. But and I don't say better. But another way of putting it, to get a little more of the force of the Greek, it would be whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The reason we could put it that way is because this word, is born, one Greek word, is the perfect, passive, indicative, third person, singular. Now, do I know that because I'm smart and know Greek? No. I couldn't even tell you that from the English, what it was. But I looked it up in books that of people who know those things. Okay? It's not because I know this. I couldn't even tell you what the English parts are called. You know, I couldn't do that. I didn't pay enough attention when I was in school like I should have. But whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That's one way of putting it, but it still doesn't give the whole story. But The is born is kind of like, okay, it's a kind of like a done deal, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be is, it's like being born, is, right? But it's not, because it's the perfect passive indicative, it can't be is being born. It's not just is because there's a past tense to it.
Exactly.
That's where you get the perfect part of it, okay? Perfect passive indicative. It's the perfect, that perfect part of the verb, which means action past. It's not present tense. It's perfect tense, which means an action completed in the past.
Yes.
But it has continuing result. Not an ongoing action. That's present tense.
Yep.
But perfect tense. Past action is fathered. That is, the believer is the one here spoken of. That believer has been fathered of God.
Amen.
But the reason they believe, that's the ongoing part of it. That's the action in the past with continuing results. The continuing results is the believing.
Yes, sir.
But you do not truly believe God the way John talks about believing God unless you've first been fathered by God.
Amen.
That's what it takes to believe this way.
Yes, sir.
Is to be fathered by God. So it's the perfect. That's action past with continuing results. But it's also passive. Now, you know what passive means, don't you? It means this. Not resisting, no. It's passive. Having nothing to do with it. Now, when I fathered my children, did they have anything to do with it? When I fathered them, they had nothing whatsoever to do with it. Now, when they were born, they were very active. When they were born of their mother. But when I fathered them, they had nothing whatsoever to do with it. That's the force of the Greek verb here.
Yes, sir.
Perfect, passive. God fathered me. And that's why I believe today.
Amen.
You see that? God fathered me. It is perfect, passive, but it's also indicative.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't even know what that meant. I had to look up in the dictionary to find out what indicative meant.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what they say it means. It means a fact. A reality. In other words, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, it doesn't say ought to be born of God, might be born of God, maybe one day will be born of God. No, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ does so because they already previously been born of God. They had nothing whatsoever to do with it.
Exactly.
And isn't that what John said back in his first epistle?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Which were born, not of flesh, not of the will of the flesh. Not of blood.
Yeah.
Not of the will of the flesh. And not of the will of man. But of God.
Amen.
And the word born there is what? Guess what?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like me. John was stuck on that. Well, that's because truth is absolute.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you something. You have no right to claim life till you've laid hold of life.
Amen.
Exactly.
And let me. You have no right to claim life till you've laid hold of Him who is life. But let me say this to you: you cannot even do that until you already first given life.
That's it.
That baby that comes out of that womb not going to suck on that breast or that bottle or whatever unless it's already alive.
Yes, sir.
Is it? And let me tell you something: life begins before conception. You've heard the argument life begins at conception? No, I'm saying life began before conception because it's here called eternal life.
Amen.
That is, it was mine even though I didn't possess it.
That's right.
Didn't have the ability of it. I had no contiguity with it or no relationship in it or condition about it. It was mine because God purposed it for me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's why it's called eternal life.
Yes, sir.
But it's given to God perfectly and passively. And you can take that perfectly in both ways. Past tense. Before I believe, God fathered me. That's what it took for me to believe the record God gave to Son. Now here's the question. Have I? This is a good question. It's what I've got to ask myself. Am I truly fathered of God?
Amen.
Because there's a lot of people that believe, but they believe having not been fathered of God.
Right.
And the evidence is that they don't believe. It's not just they don't believe the record of God gave His Son, they call God a liar.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you don't believe that, you're not believing the record God gave his son, if that is God's book.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So here's the point. Yes, Christ is precious. Yes, God fathers people, but am I one of them?
Exactly.
And that's the question. Well, I believe in Jesus. I understand that. I did when I was 5 years old. But I hadn't been fathered of God yet. But there came a time, Joe, when I was fathered of God. And because I had been fathered of God, there were continuing results. You know what they were? I began to believe God. And I haven't been able to stop since.
Exactly.
I found myself doubting when I should not have been. I found myself still with some unbelief. But I'm not all unbelief like I used to be.
Exactly.
Are you? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's the difference between a true believer and an unbeliever who thinks they're a believer. A true believer says, I got unbelief.
Yeah.
A believer who's actually an unbeliever but thinks they're a believer says, I got what it takes.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard him say, I made my decision when I was 10 years old.
Yep.
So what?
Exactly.
And I'm not being sarcastic or mean. So were you fathered of God? Is God your daddy?
Yeah.
Is the life you claim to have laid hold of, did that? Is that because God Almighty had fathered you?
That's it.
How do I know that? One, you believe the record God gave his son.
Amen.
That's the first evidence, right?
Yep.
And there's another one here. Everyone, go on. Not most of them, not we ought to.
That's right.
Everyone that loveth him that begat, that's the father word, that's the same word again,
yeah.
That fathered, loveth him also that is fathered. You love God's people?
Yeah.
Or not?
That's it.
Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish to love them more. That's not the, I understand. You ought to love them more. I do. I ought to as well. That's not the question. I ought to believe more than I do. But at least I believe.
Yeah.
I wish I knew more of the record.
Yeah.
But God showed me enough of it, you know, for now. Mm-hmm. No, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If you'd rather, now here it is, here, if you'd rather be something else, and that's tongue in cheek, you'd rather be doing something else, you'd rather be something else. You are something else.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. You are. You are. You may. You're deceived. You're not what you think you are. If you'd rather be somewhere else, you might as well be there.
Amen.
Might as well be there.
Yeah.
And that's not being mean. It's not because I want you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But are you here because God fathered you into this family and you can't help but be a part of this family?
Exactly.
I believe this, and I love you in spite of you. And if you love me, I know you got to love me in spite of me.
Yeah,
that's it.
I know that.
Oh yeah.
I know that. But let's go on. I got to hurry because we got the table to take. For whatsoever, so this, in other words, there's no question here, right? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Boy, that means I can conquer anything. No. Look, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. You see, we don't believe to overcome. When you believe, you are overcoming.
Amen.
Exactly.
You're able to do what the world cannot do because you've been fathered of God.
Amen.
You believe the record God gave his son, and you love his people.
Amen.
Right? Now, both of those go, well, I believe the truth, but I just don't want to be around those folk. You got a problem then.
Yeah.
You may have been stillborn.
That's it.
Huh? And that, I don't even think that's actually true, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Something didn't come together right.
Yeah.
Because those who were born of God, they believe the record God gave his son, and they love those, the others, who believe the record God gave his son.
Yes, sir.
That's what it boils down to. So here's the question. Do I believe the record God gave his son? And do I love them that do? If not, I am not at least yet fathered of God. Because once fathered of God, you will begin to believe the record God gave of his son.
Amen.
Right? Now some say, Well, what kind of time element is in there? We're never told there is a time element. Some places indicate for some people there was quite a gap in time. Some. For others, there seems to be very little gap, if any, between the fathering and the laying hold. But for others, there is clearly, because of what happened, a fathering, because they eventually did what? Laid hold. You see, the point, problem is, we all want to pigeonhole this into our little idea of how it ought to be. I personally believe that most of the time, people hear the gospel and begin believing the gospel while they're hearing it. But I know that's not true with everybody. Is it? And I know there's some people that begin to have a desire for the truth, okay, before they even really know what the truth is.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Why do I? Because what they begin to lay hold of is the truth.
Exactly.
You see, when God fathered me, and I can't tell you the day and the time, I don't know when I was fathered any more than you do. And I guarantee your mom and daddy didn't tell you the night either, did they? You don't talk about things like that, do you? Let me tell you, when God fathers his children, that's his business.
Amen.
Our business is to look at the laying hold.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you're, because that's the perfect tense of it. Past result, or a past act. Action in the past with continuing, not continuing action. Action in the past with a continuing result. The only way you know the action took place in the past is when you see what? The continuing result. You don't believe for a day or a month or a year. Once God fathers you and you begin believing, you will believe the rest of eternity.
Amen.
Thought I was going to say the rest of your life, didn't you? I started to. But that's just not the truth. Because we have what? Eternal life. Father, as we take this table, may we truly remember him whom we're to remember. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. David and Roy Jr., would y'all come up, please?